Let's turn in your Bible or the Pew Bible to Matthew 6. I know the hour is late, but I think that it'll help us as we think about now this petition about our daily bread, if we get a little feel. So we're focusing on verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. But pick up in Matthew 6, verse 7, before Jesus gives the pattern prayer, this is one of the two things he says. He says, you know, don't put on a show when you pray in verse 5 and 6. But pray privately. And then in verse 7, he says, don't babble. And when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And then we're given the prayer. And then come down to verse 25. Jesus is talking about sinful worry, sinful anxiety. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And Jesus goes on, but you get the flavor there. So we're making a transition now in the Lord's Prayer. So we've spent a good bit of time on the first half. First we have how we address God, our Father. Our Father in heaven, or our Father sovereign in the heavens, as I translate it. And then may your name be glorified. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. So you notice the priority that Jesus gives in this pattern prayer. Again, it's a pattern prayer. It's a guide prayer. Does it mean that every time we pray, we must follow this guide? If that's true, several of y'all sinned tonight when you were praying because you didn't follow this pattern. Well, you didn't sin, though. What you did was fine, and I'll talk about that in a second. But this is a pattern. This is a guide to, you might say, our regular prayer life. But there are plenty of situations when you study the Psalms, for instance, even Paul's prayers and his letters, where this pattern is not followed. So why does Jesus give it? Well, because it is a good guide to your regular praying. The praying that you have in the Psalms, the praying that you have in Paul's letters, they're not necessarily the normal situation. There's always something a little unique and distinctive about them. This is a guide. Yes, it can be prayed. Luke's version is where Jesus says, and when you pray, say. So it can be prayed to. But notice the priority. God's glory. God's name, his glory. God's kingdom and his will. The priority for Jesus that he wants us to have in our day in, day out, regular praying, if you will. I think all of us would say, you know, you set aside this time in the morning or this time at lunch or this time in the evening to pray. I knew one family, the way that they did it is they had an extended prayer after their meal. I think it was supper time, but I won't swear to it. I think it was supper. They had little kids, so they didn't have to worry about them being in school. But, you know, we all have different ways. The Bible doesn't say do it exactly this way. But you might say, in your regular praying, what should be preeminent in your mind? First of all, who you're praying to? Your Heavenly Father. Why is He your Father? Well, through Christ. So you're reminded of salvation immediately. You're reminded that he's sovereign. He's in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. And God is concerned first and foremost about his glory. Now, that is the height of self-centeredness for any creature. You know, what is it about those kids of ours when they're little and we're trying to grow them up? We're trying to help them, and we, a lot of times it helps to have brothers and sisters. That doesn't mean that only children are more evil than the others, but what does having those extra kids around, it should at least help them start to learn the world doesn't revolve around you. Everything is not about you, but that's the nature of our sinful selves, is to think the world revolves around us. That is the height of arrogance for any creature. And it is the exact right thing for God to do. God is properly self-absorbed with his own glory. He says time and time in the Old Testament through the prophet Isaiah, I don't know how many times, I will not share my glory with another. I will not. You'd say, well, he's awful patient with people that worship idols. Yeah, he is. But that patience won't last forever. So Jesus says, give the priority in your prayers to the priority that God says it should be, and that's his glory, his holiness, his kingdom, his will. Now we've got the second half. Those are the first three petitions. Now we've got the petition about daily bread and our sins being forgiven. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Notice in those petitions the order. We're praying first for daily bread. Then we're praying for forgiveness of sins. Then we're praying, if you will, the Christian life. Lead us not in temptation. Deliver us into evil. So daily bread, you might say salvation. And then you might say the Christian life. Notice the wisdom of Jesus. Jesus is unashamed to make the first priority for us about daily bread. Now, I read you the other part of Matthew 6 where Jesus says, don't worry about those needs. Your heavenly Father already knows about them. So we're not to be sinfully worrying, but we do pray for them that God would provide them. But we already know that he knows what we need before we ask. The daily bread, what is that? Well, it's bread. But it's more than bread. Interestingly, some of the ancient scholars we're talking about 200-300 years after Christ, not the Reformation era. One of the problems with the guys in the first 500 years after Christ, if something didn't make sense to them, this is an overgeneralization, but even Augustine would do this. They would allegorize it. So when they came to the Lord's Prayer and praying for daily bread, they're just like, I can't see Jesus. Just bread? Really? Oh, I know. He means the Lord's Supper. That's right. Well, of course it doesn't mean the Lord's Supper at all. But then others would say, oh, it's the bread, it's the word of God. Because man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Well, if Jesus wanted to say that, he would have just said it. But I'm just trying to give you a flavor of some of the mindset for them. But see, Jesus is all wise. Jesus knows that he made us as body, soul creatures. Part of the reason they thought that way, they were probably being influenced by Greek philosophy, whether they knew it or not, the Aristotle and Plato and all those crazy guys. And they were being influenced in such a way that they thought flesh and blood, the physical, it's kind of, the spiritual is where it's at. That's what's really important. But God made us spiritual beings, but also physical beings. So Jesus says, yes, this is, he, if you will, he elevates basic human needs by making them the first petition regarding ourselves in the pattern prayer. He's saying, this is important. Is it the ultimate? No, it's not the ultimate. But it's kind of basic. If you don't eat, you die. So, now I do think Jesus is using the word here, bread, where we're asking with God, we're pleading with him to give us daily bread. I do think there's a special word for that in terms of a tool. And I even if I looked at the word, I couldn't pronounce it. But basically, we use it today. We'll use bread today to stand for something other than just bread, right? Was it in the 70s when, you know, you'd watch cop shows and the bad guy would talk about getting the bread or whatever, getting the money, you know, that kind of stuff. I can't give you a famous quote from a famous bad guy. But anyway, this is not new to us. You all know that. That Jesus is not simply saying you need to pray that you have bread. If you live in the Philippines, Jesus never answers that prayer because they don't eat bread. They eat rice. Rice is their bread. That's just the way it is. In Jesus' day, around the Sea of Galilee, you ate basically two things, right? Bread and fish. And you may not catch fish that day, or you may be too poor to buy it, but hopefully you can get yourself a handle on some bread. Now, why? Let's think about this. We know Jesus gives us the example in his resurrection appearance with the apostles. He does it what? He does it Sunday night with the apostles. He takes something to eat, and then he does it on the beach. You remember that? He gets breakfast ready for them. I normally don't eat fish for breakfast, but you know, Jesus did it. Why not? My Filipino sailors, they always ate fish for breakfast, and I always told them they were weird, and then they reminded me that Jesus ate fish for breakfast. So this Jesus was. What did he do in both of those instances? He gave thanks. He gave thanks for the bread. He gave thanks for the fish. We still have as part of our Christian lifestyle, I think, most of us, I'm not saying that you do it every time. You might have a midnight snack and may not bow your head and pray, and I'm not going to fault you there, okay? I'm not going to condemn you as being a worthless Christian because you had a midnight snack and didn't pray. But I'm not going to also, if you say I did thank the Lord for it, I'm not going to fault you for that either. But isn't it hard for us sometimes to give thanks? What I mean is not to go through the practice of doing it. I think for all of us, it is like brushing our teeth. It's one of those things spiritually we do that we almost don't think about, right? For many of you, the thought of sitting down at a meal, maybe not at a restaurant, maybe so. I know some of us in this room. I'll use Mr. Doug as an example. Is that okay, Mr. Doug? So when he's like, what am I going to do now? So we're at Chick-fil-A, different guys will come in around 9 o'clock and we'll pray for our food. Mr. Doug might be a few minutes late and we'll say to Mr. Doug, look, we did an umbrella prayer. We got your food covered. Now, I don't think Mr. Doug thinks we're lying, but it is so much a part. See, it's a good illustration. So much a part of his life to stop and pray himself, he can't buy into the umbrella prayer. He just won't do it. And I'm not faulting him there. But is this a challenge for us? And I know the hour is late, so hang in there with me. I'll start getting louder in case you doze off. Isn't it sometimes hard for us? We may have the practice, but why might it be hard for us to really mean it? Now, if that's never been a problem for you, when you come to pray over a meal and you in your heart of hearts are giving thanks, I'm not talking to you then. So you think about, I don't know, the last time the Phillies lost. But I know I struggle with it. I think one of the reasons we may struggle with it, we have so much. You see, when Jesus gave this pattern prayer, and he talked about praying for daily bread, and it's probably been this way most of world history, that most people around the world, getting their daily bread is a hard thing. Even our lifestyle here in America, in South Jersey, compared to other people in the world. We have so much. So, one of the writers I read reminded me as I was preparing, okay, let's say it's in the pantry and it's been in there for 3 weeks and yeah. Who put it there? Well, I put it there. I worked hard every day, or I worked hard till I get my retirement check, and now I benefit from that and I put it in there. Yes, that's true. But who ultimately put it in there? God put it in there. God used the ordinary means of you working to put that food in the pantry. But if God had not done that, you would be in desperate shape. So I think that's another thing we have to remember, is God uses ordinary means. And one of them is our working to get our bread, to get our food, to take care of our provisions. All right, let me end with this. Since I was getting ready to talk about the Lord's Prayer, and I was thinking about how we prayed right before I did that, what did we focus on? We focused on different people, some we know, some we don't. Jean's co-worker, we may never meet her. But we have a bond with Tammy to some degree, simply because she has a bond with Jean, and so we prayed for her and her physical needs. Does that not fit under daily bread? Our physical needs. Now, in our everyday praying, If our praying as a Christian is exclusively about our needs and the needs of others, as important as those needs are, then our prayer is out of balance. And then we got to go back to the Lord's Prayer and remember, no, it's not first about you or others. It's about God and His glory. But is there anything wrong with that prayer meeting or at Sunday evening service, focusing especially on people's needs? No. Because you also see illustrations of this in the Bible. Think about how Paul, in his letter to the Philippian church, he tells them about Epaphroditus. The Philippian church had basically sent Epaphroditus to Rome to take care of Paul in prison. I think it's an 800-mile gig. So, you know, you're not jumping on a plane. You know, you're going by foot. You may be going by boat, too. But anyway, it's a big deal. Well, Epaphroditus almost died. And Paul said, I'm so thankful he didn't. If he would have died in service to me, it would have been sorrow upon sorrow. But now God has healed him, and I'm sending back to you. So practical needs are important. I would say we should always, even with them, have a focus beyond the practical need to their spiritual need. But Okay, I'm gonna stop there, brothers and sisters, and close this in prayer, and the ladies will help us sing our concluding hymn. Father, do remind us of the wisdom of our Savior Jesus. Jesus unashamedly prioritizes our daily bread to be our first petition in those requests that concern ourselves and other people, our basic needs. Now, Father, we struggle sometimes with a sense of real dependence on you, pray that prayer, because we may be prone to take those things for granted. If that's been the case, Father, sort of remind us of that and rebuke us for that and refine our prayers so that they're from our hearts and they express gratitude for the things you provide. Now, Father, help us as we sing praise to your name for providing for us. We pray it in Jesus' name.